want us to look here in chapter number 2 of the Gospel of Luke. And I want you to read, as we read through, we're going to read intentionally. We're going to read deliberately. And I want you to put yourself in this situation. Put yourself in the shoes of Mary and Joseph. So it says in verse number 1 of chapter number 2, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Verse number 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. God, thank you for revealing to us, Lord, the events surrounding the birth of Christ. And God, I pray that you'd help us here in the next few moments to focus on this passage. And Lord, may we give attention to this in a way that brings honor to you. God, I pray that you would help us to learn a lesson from this passage that you would that would take us from here and help us to gain perspective as to what, Lord, all of this means. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ is eternal. Jesus Christ, this is not the beginning of Jesus Christ. Christmas is not when Jesus Christ began. Jesus Christ has always been. Jesus Christ always will be. This account in chapter number 2 is where we read of Jesus coming to this earth. The earthly coming of Jesus Christ, what's called the incarnation, where God himself became man. He became man for us. I mean, if you stop and think about it, Jesus, he's not just another person. He's not just another created being. Jesus is God himself. That Jesus but before we come to Luke chapter 2, Jesus had been in heaven. Jesus had been living in eternity, in the eternal state of being God on the throne, serving mankind, serving this world. Jesus Christ has always been. I love what it says in John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." that you think of in the beginning, when you go all the way back to Genesis, Jesus was there. Jesus was around. The Bible says that Jesus was the one that was active in creation, that he was the one that was actually doing the creating. Jesus was there. In Revelation, it says that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. That's the Hebrew letters, the Alpha, the letter A, Omega, the end. That Jesus is the beginning and the end. That everything that we see in relation to time, Jesus is the beginning and the end. The Bible also tells us that Jesus received worship in heaven. Think of this, that Jesus, before he came to this earth, he was in heaven receiving honor, receiving worship that was due him. On the throne, receiving all of the praise, all of the worship, out of the all of the adoration that heaven had to offer, Jesus was receiving that. So you stop and think about it, and you would say, if all of that is so, and Jesus was the high exalted one of time and eternity, why would Jesus leave that behind to be born in a stable? Why? Why would Jesus leave all of that to come into this earth, to be born into the home of a carpenter? Why would he leave everything that heaven had and everything that heaven had to offer to come and live in this sin-cursed earth? I mean, as a person here on this earth, heaven is what I desire. I desire to be there. I want to be there. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of stuff in this world. You know, I'm tired of the sin and all of the problems and issues. Yeah, I would love to be in heaven right now. But think, Jesus Christ was in heaven and he left that to come here, to walk among us, to live among us. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That Jesus faced all of the same trials, all the same difficulties that we face, but yet he faced them without sin. He faced them perfectly. I mean, why would Jesus leave all of the glory and splendor of heaven to come down here? It's a good question. You know, if you look that up, some would say this. Some would say that Jesus came to preach a social gospel. That he came to right all the things that were done wrong socially. That there's a socialistic type of Jesus that's out there. That he's looking to help the injustices in the world. People would say that. That's why Jesus came. I mean, some would even say that Jesus came to take up social causes and to help those who were the outcast and to help those that were the marginalized in society. Jesus came to reach out to them and to help them. Some would say that Jesus came to care and to fix the physical needs of people, of mankind. That people had need for food. Jesus fed the 5,000. So Jesus' purpose in coming was to provide the physical needs that people have. To provide food, to provide clothing, shelter, to carry on these social endeavors to help people that are hurting, that are suffering. That Jesus came to heal the sick. And that his whole purpose in coming was to make sure people are wealthy. There's some that would say that Jesus came to make sure people live a life that is healthy, wealthy, and happy. That's why he came. That's why he was here. So I think on this Christmas day, it's good for us to stop and consider, why did Jesus come? Now some of you say, hey, I got this. I understand. I know why. But I think it's good for us to be reminded in this world and in this society where it's so easy for us to lose sight of the significance of a day like Christmas and the significance of a time where Jesus Christ came to this earth. There's a lot of things that we can think of. There's a lot of things that we can emphasize, that we can do, that if we're not careful can distract us from the true meaning of Christmas. Why did he come? Why was he born in this manger that we read here in Luke chapter number 2? Listen, we give gifts. We celebrate with families. That's a great time. I love everything about Christmas. I love the things that we get to do, and we decorate our house with lights, all those types of things. But why? What's the purpose? Why did Jesus come to Bethlehem? Here in this passage, you see that Jesus came in a time of this taxation, where there was a taxing that was made through all the region, this Augustus and Caesar. He said, everybody in my region, in my territory, they need to pay taxes. So Mary and Joseph being the head of the house, they were not yet married. They were still espoused and planned to be married. But Joseph and Mary go down to Bethlehem. This is the home region, the home territory of Joseph. And he's going to pay taxes. But on this road trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, that would have taken several days to get from the area of Nazareth down to Bethlehem, the Bible makes it clear that Mary was not just with child, but it says that she was great with child. That it meant that this baby was coming at any moment. But yet they had no choice. They had to leave. They had to go down to Bethlehem. They had to go down to pay the taxes that were due to him. Mary and Joseph couldn't stand up and say, "Hey, Caesar, sorry, we had a revelation from God that this baby was special, so we're not going to go pay taxes." No, they were still required to go down and pay taxes. And in verse number 6, we see that things weren't like, people weren't opening their doors and their arms and saying, "Hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see Jesus." Or, "Hey, Jesus is here. Mary and Joseph are here. There's this lady that's going to have a baby. Let's open our doors and be great, friendly, welcoming to them." No, remember, if everybody else in the region was coming to pay their taxes like Mary and Joseph were, there was a lot of extra people in the town and there wasn't a lot of room. So the Bible says that there was no room for them in a normal dwelling place that they could rent for the night. It wasn't there. So what did they do? Well, it came time for Mary to deliver. And as you know, there was no room in the inn, so they had to find a stable. Mary gives birth to Jesus in a stable. Look in verse number 6. "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." It's time to give birth. They give birth in a lowly stable. I mean, think of even now the song that Jeremiah just sang, that if Jesus would have come as he rightly deserved, as the creator, the king, the ruler, the savior, that Jesus could have come as anything in this world, but he chose to come to a simple family and to be born in a simple stable. Listen, if Jesus would have come as a king or in the throne or in the palace, listen, he would have been off limits to several people. He would have been off limits. But no, Jesus came to a simple family signifying his accessibility. That Jesus is available to any and all who would want to come and hear. That Jesus didn't come and say, "Hey, I'm coming in this great home, in this great family of wealth and prosperity." No, he came to a simple working class family, the Savior of all. But these shepherds, I think of these shepherds that we hear of here in verse number 8 through 14. There are these shepherds out there minding their business out in the field, living in the as a shepherd would, taking care of their sheep. And the Bible says that there was all of a sudden this shining light. And this angel appeared to them, one angel at this time. And no doubt they were scared. They were frightened. They were afraid. Verse number 8. And then verse number 9 says, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." That in this darkness, as they were keeping their sheep, all of a sudden it was as bright as day around them. And they're thinking, "What in the world is going on?" It says that they were sore afraid. That these men who had lived out in the field, they've seen something that they've never seen before. And it scared them. It startled them. No doubt this was a frightening experience. And the angel said unto them, verse number 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It says, hey, shepherds, don't be afraid. Don't fear. I've got news that is great news for you and for all the world. Listen, pay attention, shepherds. This is great news. What do they say? Look in verse number 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Saying, listen, shepherds, this is big news. Because down there in Bethlehem, the shepherd, the Savior is born, and the shepherds are receiving the news of this great announcement. It's interesting because they say that these shepherds, they were probably in the Bethlehem area, they were the shepherds that were providing the sheep for the sacrifices in the temple up in Jerusalem. That this is where most of the sheep would have come from in that Bethlehem area. So it's likely that these shepherds were the shepherds that are keeping the sheep that are going to be used in sacrifices in the temple regularly. So these sheep they're raising, knowing that these sheep are going to die as sacrifice as a payment for sin. But Jesus, the announcement of Jesus' birth comes to these shepherds. And it tells these shepherds, listen, the Savior is coming. The Messiah is coming. You know what that meant? That there was not going to be any more need for the sacrifices. There wasn't going to be any more need for the sheep to be slaughtered to pay for sin, because this Messiah is going to take care of these sins, of the sacrifice, be the ultimate sacrifice. But I love this, because we ask questions and we wonder. And we can think, man, why did Jesus come? Why did all of this have to happen? But Jesus tells the shepherds. Now listen, the shepherds weren't people also that were very highly thought of. They weren't ones that were looked at as great pillars of society. No, these were again, normal working class people. And out of all the working class people, they would have been some of the lowest. That people didn't really respect the shepherds. They didn't really think highly of the shepherds. Nobody desired to say, hey, when I grow up, I want to be a shepherd. No, it was kind of just something that you fell into and you had to do. It wasn't something that was looked at as a great job of reputation. But Jesus, the announcement of the Savior of the world, came not just to a lowly family like Joseph and Mary, but the announcement was given to a lowly group of shepherds to say, this is what's happening. Jesus made sure these shepherds knew that the Savior was coming. The Savior had arrived. And he tells them their reason for coming. I love what they say, what the angel tells them. He says that for unto you is born this day, in verse number 11, a Savior. That the angel tells them the reason of this Jesus coming and being born. He didn't tell them, hey, that unto you is born this day a person that is going to set right all the social injustice, that's going to feed thousands of people. No, the first message and the important message was that Jesus was Savior. That Jesus came to save. Jesus came to redeem. And the message to these shepherds that down in Bethlehem, in this lowly manger, there is a child that's born that is the Savior. And to prove to you that this is the Savior, he's born in a lowly stable. And he says, go down to Bethlehem, and if you go to Bethlehem, you will find in Bethlehem a stable. And in this stable, there'll be a child wrapped in swaddling clothes. When you find the child in the manger, you know that's the Savior. Say, why? Well, because it even though it was a more rural, rustic place, it still wasn't a normal thing to have a baby in a manger. A manger is just like a feeding trough for the animals in a barn. It wasn't the normal place. So when the shepherds found the baby in the manger, they knew this was the Savior. Look at what it said, verse number 12. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel too a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So basically, after this happened, this revelation, that the skies were lit up. And not now was there not just one angel. It says that there was a multitude of angels. And they were declaring. Now, I don't want to, you know, mess up the song, but hark the herald angels sing. That's what this passage is about. But it doesn't say that the angels sang. Now, I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, a big, huge doctrinal error that song says that. But they didn't sing. They pronounced. They declared. Look at what it says. Suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels stopped and they said, listen, we need to stop and give praise to God. Glory to God. We need to acknowledge God's goodness in this moment in time. Why? Because the angels knew the significance of what was taking place. They knew the significance of Jesus coming to be born. And they said, glory to God. Because not only had the Israelites been waiting for the Messiah to come, that the angels in heaven and the presence of heaven was waiting for this moment, because this was important. This was what the earth was created for. This is what everything that has been leading up in history past was leading towards this event. And they're saying glory to God. But this is why they're also saying glory to God. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That what's about to happen, the angels knew that if mankind would embrace the reality of who this baby was, then they said, this is what would happen, peace and goodwill toward men. That if mankind really knew and understand and grasped and believed and held on to what this baby's birth means, then he says it would bring peace and goodwill to men. These shepherds, they left immediately. They stood around and looked at each other and they said, hey, we need to go to Bethlehem and see what's going on. So they searched. They searched the town, looking in stables, looking in barns, looking in caves where they would house the animals and saying, where is a baby? Where's the baby? And finally, they came to this baby. And they came and saw Mary and Joseph, and they rehearsed everything that had happened to them and everything that had took place on the hillside. And the Bible says, then they left. They left Mary and Joseph and then began to spread and to tell others in the community. And people wondered. People were saying, what's happening? What's taking place? But the Bible says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. Verse number 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. There's a lot of things that Jesus did in his life. But Jesus' intent and purpose was to come as a savior. Was to come to save. You say, to save from what? To be the savior, not of our financial problems. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to be the savior of our bad circumstances in life. No, Jesus' intent in coming was to be the savior, to redeem us, to save us from sin. Listen, the whole reason Jesus had to be born and that why God had to become flesh was to be able to save us from sin. Listen, if Jesus' intent and purpose was just to right all the wrongs that had been done, he didn't need to come as a baby. He didn't need to come as man. He could have come as an angelic spirit being and set right everything that had been done wrong. If he just came to perform these great miracles, he didn't have to come as a man, as a baby. No, but because his purpose, his intent was to be born to die on the cross for our sins, he had to come as man. He had to come as a child because to save us, he had to be one of us. To save us, he had to put on this robe of flesh, as the Bible says, and walk among us and live among us and be able to be that sinless substitute for our sins. An animal, a lamb couldn't provide that sacrifice. An angel couldn't provide that sacrifice. It had to be God, but God had to be man. Listen, Jesus came to save us from sin. When you think of everything that took place in this passage, everything that took place in the life of Jesus, it was to lead to him dying on the cross to save us from sin. He came as a baby. He faced everything that a person of his day and his time would have faced in a normal home. But yet he did it without sin. He was our perfect, sinless sacrifice for us. Everything he did leading up to his death on the cross was demonstrating his worthiness to be that payment for sin. Listen, Jesus did do a lot of good things. Listen, Jesus did heal sicknesses. But his sicknesses were not his purpose and intent in coming. That was a sign and a symbol for the real reason of him coming. Jesus fixing a blind man's eyes or feeding thousands of people. Listen, that wasn't his purpose. That wasn't his intent. That wasn't all the reason why he came. He came and did those things to establish the proof of his divinity, the proof that he's God. Listen, all those things that he did were a sign pointing to his ability and who he was as Savior of this world. Jesus, I mean, there's an old song that was written. It's called Born to Die. That if you stop and think about that baby, Jesus, lying in a manger, that his birth ultimately and the intent of that birth was to one day die on a cross. Now listen up, this is important. What should our response be? We look at these and we think, man, how did these people respond to this situation, to this news? And I want us to look just a moment at the shepherds. And see their response and model our response to this news of Jesus coming to die to be our Savior. Well, what was their first response? Well, they believed. They believed the message that was told them. And they believed that Jesus was who they said he was. Well, how do you know? Because they left. They went to go find him. They went to go search him out. They said, listen, we've heard this news and we've got to get to Jesus. They believed, and their belief produced an action. Now listen, there's a lot of things that you can do with a lot of faiths and religions that are out there. And some of them you can live a good life and that'll be fine. That'll be enough to try to get you to heaven. But listen, that's not reality. Reality is that Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to receive that truth and that life is to believe. And when you believe, it's a belief with a repentance and faith in who he says he is. That's the only way that this truth can be rightly handled, is believed. And if you don't believe, and if you don't act upon that belief, and if you say, well, I kind of believe, but I'm not going to do anything about it. No, these shepherds would have been foolish to say, oh, yeah, I believe the message of the angels, but we're just going to sit here on this hillside and keep messing with these sheep. No, their belief was demonstrated by their actions, that they went out to seek this child that was born. And today, a person's belief in understanding who Jesus Christ is demonstrated by repentance and faith in Jesus. By saying, hey, listen, I trust and I believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he's the only way of salvation, that he came, that he lived, that he died for our sins, and I'm going to place my faith and trust in them, turning away from all of my sins. We believe. That's our first response. Number two, we praise. And also, here's another thing I want to talk. I want to go back to belief for a minute. You know, you see a lot of... a lot of movies and a lot of songs and talking about belief in Christmas, and they think, oh yeah, I'm gonna believe in the spirit of Christmas and I'm gonna believe and just have belief. No, listen, your belief is only as strong and is only as valid as the object of that belief. Listen, here in this Christmas time, Jesus doesn't want us to believe in belief and just have this warm, fuzzy feeling. No, the idea is to believe who Jesus truly is. As we gather and we celebrate the birth of Christ, we gather to celebrate, to acknowledge that Jesus is who he said he is, and to rejoice. Their response was to rejoice, to praise God, to go down and to see him and to rejoice and to be excited about the things that had been revealed to them, and to know that we know the Savior, we know the Redeemer, we know the Savior. He's here. He's come. We can rejoice to praise. Listen, we can rejoice and look back on what has happened, and we can rejoice because Christ is born, not because we get presents, not because we get maybe a day off or because we just get to gather around family. Yeah, all those things are great, but those should point our heart to the truth that Jesus Christ came. God himself came to be born in this world for us, to die for us, to praise. There's so much to praise God for. On this Christmas day, just by stopping and considering everything that it meant for Jesus Christ to come here and to die, to be born, to die for our sins. Praise. So we believe, we praise. And lastly, look at what the shepherds did. Look at what it says in verse number 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. These shepherds, they believed. They praised, they were excited, they glorified God at what happened. And then number three, they went and told people. Listen, the news that they had received and the reality that they had experienced, they couldn't help but keep it a secret. They couldn't help but hold it in. They went and told others around about the news that Jesus had given. Listen, I don't care if you're 5 years old or if you're 75, 85 years old. Listen, we can be excited and we can tell others about this reality of who Jesus is. If Jesus has made a difference in our life, then it should be something that we would want to tell. I mean, these shepherds had just experienced something that no one else had ever experienced before. Had experienced something wonderful and great, and they couldn't help but go and tell people. But listen, if Jesus has made a difference, if you have repented and put your faith and trust in Christ, listen, he did that for you. He died for you. And we can tell others about that. And we should have a desire to tell others and be excited about what God has done in our life. We believe, we praise, we tell. Why? Because Jesus didn't come to save us from financial trouble. Jesus didn't come to save us from bad circumstances of this life. No, he came to save us from sin.